Well, well, I'm glad all of you came back. We have our walls again. Praise God. The ones that were here did a good job in keeping the walls there, but they needed reinforcement. What a blessing. Thank you for your testimonies. Thank you for allowing God to work in your lives. And first of all, thank you for committing to go. That's not... it's an expensive trip, but what better things would we want to invest in than the kingdom of God and just growing in grace and just allowing ourselves to be taught, allowing ourselves to be wrought more in Christ. What a blessing. Thank you, Sammy and Sari, for leading out in that. I know months leading up to it, you were busy on the phone getting schedules together and flights and helping organize that, so may God richly reward you. Yeah, I know you had some help, so that's a blessing, but it took somebody to spearhead it and keep it moving. So I almost should have asked you all to preach the message. My message this morning is on faith, but it's more in the title is Unity of Faith in the Body of Christ, but maybe relating more into our faith in God, being unified with God, and then also through that, He unifies us together as a body, as people. My last message comes out of the same chapter. You can turn there, Ephesians 4. We're going to look at the same chapter, the same scriptures, but from a different angle this morning to start. My last message was out of verse 3 there, where it talks about keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This morning, the text is found in verse 13, where we're going to talk about the unity of the faith, the unity of our faith. And so maybe just before we get started, if you read the first three chapters in Ephesians, there's almost, I haven't found any exhortation. And then the next three chapters goes into more of an exhortation of how he wants us to walk and how he's teaching the church there in Ephesus how to walk. So we hear in the first three chapters, we hear a lot about we're chosen, we're a purchased possession through redemption, how we are wrought in Christ, our position in him, our eternal inheritance, and he just lays that foundation for our faith, which is truly a blessing. You know, when we accept that, when we look at that, and we accept that and walk in it, then we will be able to stand the test in storms and trials and things that life brings to us. But just that rest in Christ. And then he goes into more of an exhortation here the next three chapters. We're just going to look at chapter 4 in Ephesians. But he starts out in verse 1 to 3. He calls us to unity and oneness with him. Now, if you do not have the foundational things settled in your heart, the rest of the book of Ephesians will be a burden to you. It will be hard for you. If you haven't accepted who Christ is in your life, first and foremost, you haven't given your life to Christ. The rest of that book will not make sense, be a burden to you until we get that settled. It will be difficult because the rest of the book talks about unity. It talks about being faithful, engaging in spiritual warfare. We see that in 6, withdrawing from unfruitful works of darkness. Also talks about forbearing and walking in love together and submitting one to another. So these things will be hard unless we've accepted who Christ is in us and who he wants to be. But if we do accept these, we'll press in and these things will be possible. Of course, with the fear of God working through our life. And we are to be excited to walk with God and the body and to be unified. Okay, let's look at verses 1 to 16. We're going to read there. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is ye are called of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same ascended up far above all heavens, might things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by which every joint supplieth, and according to the effectual working in every measure of every part, working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Wow. That is a good word. That is a good word this morning for us. And so much to unpack there, but we're going to focus on the unity of that faith in the body of Christ. We see in 13 there, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the call to unity and oneness with him in verses 1 to 3. But it talks about the, in verse 1 there, the vocation wherewith we are called. The calling wherewith we are called. And how the importance of that we receive that and embrace it. And then going on with lowliness, meekness, not pride, not puffed up, but rather just with lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, those of us that are married know what a little bit of what that means. We have to forbear to walk with people. We have to forbear in love to walk with our wives, right? We have to forbear with one another. Nancy and Drew, you're smiling. It's okay. You keep smiling. Austin and Wilma keep smiling. That's good. But you walk with each other in love when you meet a test and a trial. People that you're closest to, you forbear with them. You walk in love. You work it out. Why? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. But walking, keeping, making every possible effort to make it happen. That's what he's calling us to as a church. Making every possible effort to walk in love. And just was thinking about that this morning. Where is your best effort? Where are you making every effort to make it the best? Is it whatever, you name it, you're thinking it right now. Where is your best effort? If you would use that same thing, if you would use that, whatever you're trying to be successful in, whether it's walking in faith, whether it's right now there's just a time of repentance, wherever you are this morning, you're making your best effort to come closer to God, right? Or maybe you're trying to accomplish something like work in the market, something that regards your occupation. You're making it your best effort to excel in that and be the most excellent. But he's saying, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a working at it. There's a effort being made to make it the best. And diligently working toward that goal in the effort that you're making. You're striving toward that. There's winds, there's storms, but you keep facing, you keep walking through that and making it your goal to get there. So what are you giving your best effort toward? Use that same thing he's saying to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So where is my faith? Where is your faith this morning? Is my faith in Jesus Christ, first of all, so I can be unified with him? First and foremost, our faith must rest in Christ, because we sang about the blood of Jesus this morning, and it is so easy to get away from following the head, Jesus Christ, and taking our own way. So easy. And but yet when we strive to stay with him, we stay unified with him, and he will be, when we stay fixated on him, he will lead us and guide us. Unified with Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, the scripture says. Prove to someone that you are in the faith. I'm not challenging you. I'm encouraging us this morning. We know it's very easy to see when someone is walking away from the faith, right? But there's sometimes things hidden inside of us that doesn't come out right away. But then after a while, the fruit of that comes out. But let's think eternity. Let's think ahead and say, I will prove myself unto Jesus Christ. I will reach eternity if I stay faithful. Prove unto yourselves that you're walking in the faith. Examine yourselves and then prove yourselves whether you be in the faith. Is my faith increasing? If not, who's responsible? If it is, and I'm growing in grace and my faith is increasing, it means I have my focus on the head, the Jesus Christ. As we work through there, there's one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all, through all and in you all. Verse 7 I love. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It sounds like I'm responsible partially for some of that. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift in Christ. Now, faith is a gift, right? It is a gift of God. So it's something that God gives us. When we focus on him, when we endeavor to keep it, when we walk with him, he gives us that gift according to the measure. So how far, how wide, how deep can we go in this faith? Oh, that's just so exciting, isn't it? How far do we want to go? How deep do we want to go into the things of God? How much would we desire to see things change around us? Some things that we're praying for, and it almost looks impossible. And God says, the scripture says, with God, all things are possible. And then we jump down to verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. I love what was shared this morning. And as I was studying for this message, I had this thought, is it possible that we may be looking at this wrong and saying the apostle, the prophet, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers are responsible for everything in the church? And I don't know that I was thinking that, but what if we would let God renew our mind and say, if I'm looking at this right, there's a purpose for the apostle, and I'm not going to go into those. That would be an interesting study. And some prophets, what does the evangelist do? What is his responsibility? What are the responsibilities of the pastor and the teacher? But then it goes on into the purpose for that. For each one of these, there's a purpose in the body of Christ, and they each have their area of working and what they're responsible for. And through that, it is for the perfecting of the saints, those who are not called to be apostle at this time, those who are not called to be a prophet at this time, those who are not called to be an evangelist at this time, those who are not called to be a pastor at this time, those who are not called to be a teacher at this time. It is for those people, for the perfecting of the saints. The second thing is for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you all explain it really well this morning. You are that wall to edify the body of Christ. Outside of these leadership or callings, whatever you want to call them, there is an awesome responsibility on the body of Christ, on the church. And I know all of you are doing that too. You are doing that. I'm not saying that this morning. But I'm just refreshing our mind and to get us thinking. I had this thought while I was studying. And then when you all shared about how you are the wall and the pillars, I thought to myself, now that's starting to make sense. It almost like the Lord just confirmed it this morning, what I was thinking while I was studying here, is our job is to equip you to go further than us. Our prayer is that you go further than us. There's a certain thing that we have to pay attention to, and we can go far, but there's a certain thing that we have to pay attention to. Each one of us in leadership here, there's some things we have to stay with. You can walk with people outside of that just a little bit further. Oh, Lord. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. Through all that work, through everything that's going to happen, when that body walks together, there will be a faith in each one of us that will rise higher than it is this morning. Believing God on every level of our lives. That's exciting. That is exciting this morning. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man. We're still talking about perfecting the saints for the work of ministry. There's going to be a unity of faith coming together. There's going to be knowledge of the Son of God. There's going to be mature men and women rising up unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. For this purpose, that we're not tossed to and fro, we're not looking at everything that isn't truth. Do you realize how easy it is to get deceived this morning? It is so easy to be deceived. It is so easy. I'm just going to share one thing. This week I saw a little clip. I didn't actually watch it. I just saw the writing. And I'm not an Elon Musk fan. I hope not any of you are. But he was in a meeting, and someone mentioned the fact that Jesus is a fairy tale. And he stood up, and I don't know what he did, but that grieved me, because there's some backstory to him that's ungodly. I'll just say it for what it is. So when an unbeliever, there's starting to be a following after Elon Musk. And I don't condone anything that he's promoting in his personal life. Trying to build a man with certain genes and crossing over and all those things. Okay. All I'm saying is that, to me, is dangerous, because that is not Christ-like. That is not putting yourself under the head and submitting your faith to Jesus Christ. And when a young person coming to Christ, a young, you could say a baby Christian, that is just starting in their faith, sees that and says, oh, that's Christian. Brothers and sisters, we have an awesome responsibility to walk reverently before God and call those things out for ourselves. God is the ultimate judge, but it's okay for us to call it out and says, I cannot be a part of that. I cannot condone that. And just walk humbly with lowliness, meekness before God, forbearing one another in love. But I'm talking about maturity. Coming to a place where you're mature enough to see that that is not truth. Praise God. That is not truth. I see truth. I follow truth. I follow the head. I see Christ in this. And I see him working in my life. But all those things, the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness, the things that want to just trip us up just in a little bit, little way first, and then it leads down the path of sin. Little attitudes, brothers and sisters, little attitudes keep us from walking together in the unity of the faith. Those things can fester themselves to something bigger than we imagine, which ultimately is called sin. Little bitterness, little roots. I feel like I'm talking to you, but I so want to walk clear before God. But speaking the truth in love, that we can grow in him, which is the head, even Christ. And through that, the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted in love, and everything that's needed, every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part, every need is met. Maybe there's going to be some things that we're challenged with, but our spiritual needs are going to be met. They're going to be met. God will help us through hard things. We're not focused on that this morning. Or we're not focused on that in life, even though it is a part of life. But every need, all the grace needed for whatever we're facing, it will be met. And it will make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. I just was looking at this through a coworker, mentioned this in John 4. We're just going to talk about it. But I looked into it as I was studying, when the woman came to the well and Jesus met her there. She didn't know him at first, but he started talking to her and started communicating with her. It's just a beautiful picture of evangelism and talking to someone about Christ and just asking questions and offering service, offering to do something. And so he offered to her to draw water. And she recognized, in verse 9, she called him a Jew. She recognized, you know, where he's from, his nationality and everything. And in verse 11, She called him sir. And then he starts to talk to her more. And in verse 19, she calls him a prophet. And so there's something happening here. There's things starting. There's a curiosity starting. There's a little bit of maybe what she sees and hears. There's perception. And this is how faith starts, right? We see it, we hear it, our sixth senses become alive. And there's something that he's saying that's true. How does he know that about me? I wonder if he knows something about me. And all of a sudden, it like goes to a whole new level. In verse 25, he says she talks about her different husbands, and he says what's true about her. And in verse 25, she calls him Christ. And then later on in 42, after she goes back and brings others, she calls him a savior. What happened? And I just had to think, as I read that story, I had to think, this is so fitting to what we're looking at today. But her faith started increasing. Her faith started increasing as she spent time with the Savior, as she communicated with him. Our effort today would be communing with him. As she communicated with him, she learned more about him. She learned who he was, and he told her who she is. Oh, that's what we want, right? I want to be told who I am by Jesus. But she started communicating, and through that, she ultimately had enough of faith that this is the Savior. This is Jesus. As she spent time with him, she became unified with him. And just a challenge here, do we know Jesus in a relational way where there's an increase, there's an increasing of our faith? The same man that, one of my coworkers, the same man, he says there's this military exercise. He says, when you're in a tough situation and there's things that are going wrong all around you, excuse me, and he shared some things when he was in Ramadi, the war, of how things get so quickly out of hand. One moment it's quiet, and the next moment it's total chaos. It can be in the middle of the night. Everything is quiet. You could hear a pin drop, and all of a sudden it's just total chaos. And everybody was staged. Everything is going off at one time. And all of a sudden, there's a grand finale of a fight in a certain concentrated area. And he said, often they were taught this. He said, when in that situation, you just do a knee drop like this, and you it's chaos around you. There's things happening. There's gunshots everywhere, but you don't know what to do. And you just do a knee drop. And he said, they call it take a knee. Pause. Take a knee, look at the situation, drink water, and then do a map check. Where am I? Where am I? Where am I going? What is going? Ask yourself these questions. What is going on? What's the mission? What is the mission? What action do I take next? And he said, You force yourself to stay there in the middle of chaos. You force yourself because you will get direction if you just pause. Now, this might be really short. This isn't as long as I'm here on my knee, but this might be really short, but you go through that exercise of asking questions. And as he told me that, I thought to myself, how many times do we do that in life? We do without thinking. We do, we're things are going wrong. There's chaos around us. There's trouble on every side. But sometimes we just get down and we do a knee drop and we bow before God and we say, where am I? Where is my faith? What do I believe? What do I live for? And you're there before God. And you're waiting. And you're waiting. It's a little different than what he experienced. But you drink water. Where am I? Drink from his word. There's trouble, but drink from his word. Do a map check. Let the Spirit of God lead you. In the middle of that map, where am I? What's going on? I don't understand. Why this? Why did this happen? But you're doing a map check, and you're asking God, where am I going? What am I doing? What is this all about? And out of that, there's direction. There's a planning. There's a course of action. Maybe God is asking you to do something this morning that you have been resisting, you know, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a battle. I do not know of a more thing that's not exciting as fasting. If you want to do a serious map check on your life, do some fasting. That will bring the old man. If there's an old man there that's trying to operate, that will bring that to the surface. And you will see Jesus, the head, begin to talk to you. Because when there's no food, your body sometimes screams. But just remind yourself why you're doing that. Why am I doing this? What is the mission? Where am I going? It's my faith in God. And have I been unified with his people? Romans 1:12 says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. That's beautiful. It goes both ways. With Christ, back to us. With our brother, back to us. Just back and forth. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. There's a coming together, a unity of faith, and it refers to the Christian believers that are coming together and sharing their belief and understanding of their faith. Some of the things that happen when there's a unity of faith, there's common beliefs, spiritual community, which is us, a mutual understanding, and a growing in faith. These are all exciting things as the body increases. As we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, these things will become more evident in the body as each one of us does it, and there's a coming together. Embracing core doctrines that we just read about in verse 4. Embracing those teachings that are central to faith and fostering those. Fostering those day after day, no matter what we face. But you'll start to see a sense of unity and a fellowshipping among believers, which ultimately promotes there's dialogue, there's conversation, there's a oneness, there's a transparency. It goes back and forth. There's a reconciliation to address the differences between us. I love when there's differences, but I also love when we can talk about those differences. Amen? I don't want everybody to think like I think. I want to hear from you, Daniel. There's differences that we have. Not you. But there's differences that we have with each other, and it's okay. I love talking about that. But you know how we do it? We do it in love, in an openness. There's a dialogue. There's a mutual understanding. And through that, we grow in faith. We grow in faith. We're encouraging each other to collectively grow and mature in our worship, in our teaching. And through that experience, we've experienced harmony, love, strengthening the community here first and then throughout. Praise God. It'll bring a collective purpose. Verses that I was reflecting on, the importance of being unified among believers. I'm going to just say them. You don't have to turn there. But Hebrews 12:12-15, wherefore lift up your hands which hang down and feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, which with no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fill of the grace of God, lest, I talked about this before, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble in you, and thereby may be defiled. Just that little seed. Yesterday I was mixing seeds for our pastor and getting ready to plant, and I had like 5 different types of seed, and I was mixing them all up. They were in separate bags when I started, but I was mixing them all up in the scoop, and till I was all done, they were all mixed together. I thought, that is a beautiful picture. When those seeds all come up together, they'll feed the animals, and they'll get exactly what they need to be healthy. If I care for those plants right, they will nourish that animal to the point where they will even work out some things the plants together can even act as a dewormer. If they're raised right together, one by itself couldn't do that, but together they can work out things in the body that would destroy the body. I thought, that is neat. How we so need each other. How we so need each other. But lest there be any root of bitterness springing up trouble in you, therefore I may be defiled. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, I'm starting to see something here. If our faith journey could possibly become hindered by when there's a disagreement with each other, our faith journey could become hindered, meaning it's hard for me to grow right now when I'm in a disagreement with my brother and I can't work through it. It's necessary. It's necessary. It's essential to work those things out so that we can grow in grace and walk with people in a humble way. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together with the same mind and the same judgment. But not tolerating that little attitude that wants to get in the way. Not tolerating that, but rather taking care of that right away. And through that, there will be a victory. 1 John talks about that. When there's works of darkness in us and we confess those things, he is faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to forgive us from sin. So allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. First Peter 3:8, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. Let's go to Romans, two chapters in Romans. We'll go to 15 first. Romans 15, 1 to 7. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. A couple points that I want to look at there is, we are strong in him. Please those around you for his good. Have the mind of Christ with and to each other, that ye be a one mind through that, the love of God flowing out through us for others, and to bring, ultimately, to bring glory to God. Psalm 133 talks about that, talks about where brethren dwell together in unity, and a little ahead, there the Lord commands his blessing. It has no choice but happen. When we live together in unity, the Lord commands his blessing there. So, what is this all about? Three things that I wrote down here. It is the desire of the Savior, which we'll see later. I'm going to mention that in John 17, where Jesus prays for us. It is the desire of the Savior to see us walking together as one, and especially in the faith. Especially in the faith. I don't want to make too much of a distinction, but the unity of the faith is so important that we see things as God sees it. We see, we know what we believe in. We know Jesus died for us. The simple things that it talks about in Ephesians, one Lord, who is Lord? One baptism, what is it about? How do we approach it? You must be born again to be baptized, right? All those things we see the same. But when it comes to the unity of the Spirit, we trust the Holy Spirit to lead us. Are we going to agree on everything? I don't think so. But we're going to be like-minded with each other to discover those things that the Spirit of God is trying to teach us, right? And so that's exciting to me. To know what the Spirit of the Lord is teaching Mel or Elmer or Joshua, you know, all of you, to see what, find out what is that that God is speaking to you. And through that, I learn from you. But we're like-minded. We're walking with each other. It is the desire of the Savior. The second one, it is the delight of the saved. Walking together in the unity of the faith is the delight of the saved. When a body walks in love and fellowship, it is felt and noticed. Oh, it is so felt and noticed. Yes. Let me just turn it. When a body is not walking together in fellowship, it is felt and noticed. So praise God. It is the delight of the saved. The third thing is, it is a dread of Satan. When we walk together in like-minded faith, it is the dread of Satan. When God's people dwell together and the Holy Spirit has his place in the body, he has no more dominion in that body. I'm talking about dominion. He has no more dominion in that body. In me first, and then in the body. Then Christ, the head, has the dominion in us. The unity of the faith is ultimately a gift from God. We choose to embrace it. We walk in that gift of faith. Therefore, it brings glory to God, which is his plan. That is his plan, to bring glory to himself. In closing here, I want to read back. Let's go back to Romans 12. I want to just read this. Let's read this together as an encouragement to be faithful, an example of our faith in God. And also what those actions are. What is that map check? What's the plan of action? What's the course of action that we take in walking together in love? And then have that service within the church and within the body. We are looking at Romans 12 again. I think one of you brothers read this just recently in your message. Maybe in the last couple months. I think I heard this a few times. And I'm just so blessed what God is doing here. Start to notice, we don't plan our messages. We only share what the Holy Spirit is giving us. And I'm so amazed how God is overlapping and he's building. And he's building. And that's exciting to me. That I can labor with my brothers that I know have a heart after God. And I know that they are reverent before the Lord as far as preparation and sharing the Word of God. And that to me is exciting once it starts to overlap. Some of the same chapters with a different topic. And he's just trying to teach us something. He's trying to bring us to a place where there's a solid foundation below us, and we are sure and steadfast in the Word of God and walking with him. Praise God. So we're going to look at it again. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Interesting. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Again, I'm so glad we're not all the same. There's a gift within each one of you that edifies me. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Here's our course of action. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That one scripture there, in 12, continuing instant in prayer. I was just really encouraged and challenged with David Ravenhill's message on Wednesday evening of how so we need that communion time with the Savior, and how so important that is, how vital that is to the life in us first, and then also in the body. But just to have that time, start that time with God, pouring your heart out to him. I was talking to a brother this week after that, and we were just talking about how important, or there's something that we may be missing. We may be missing a lot through this, that we're not giving ourselves to more prayer, much prayer. And how much more would our faith rise and be increased if we would spend time with God, knowing that, okay, now it's taken care of. I gave it to the Lord. I know He'll do whatever He wants to do with it, and He'll make it work out according to His plan. Just this chapter is so encouraging to be kindly affectionate to one another, rejoicing in hope, serving the Lord, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving hospitality. And then it goes on to how we're to treat those that are against us or trying to come at us, or maybe trying to distract us from our faith. Bless them, and curse not. And then rejoice with those who are weeping. Be of the same mind. But we're talking about all coming to a place where these things actually can operate in us. But our faith must be unified with Christ first. Our faith must be in Christ, Jesus Christ Himself, for our own personal needs, for our own personal lives. And then through that, I can encourage my brother. You can encourage each other. We can encourage each other because there's a measure of the gift of faith in each one of us exactly according to what we need, that measure of gift. It's perfect for what we need right then. And we walk in that. We give ourselves to that. When you look back, you see that there were times where you didn't have faith and then you had faith. And now looking back, it was like, why was that so hard to believe that? It took everything I had to believe that back then. But now when I look back, my faith has increased. Praise be to God. As we walk, then we go from glory to glory. And our faith is increased and increased even more. And that gets me excited when a body is working out their faith with each other, and they're unified in that. I just want to read John 17, 21 to 23 yet, and then we want to pray that God would give us an increase. Jesus' prayer for us, that they may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, Thou in Me, that they may be perfect in one, or in oneness, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and has loved Me as Thou hast loved Me. Wow. That is a deep love. That is a deep love. Let's just bow and ask God for that prayer for the unity of the faith. Oh, Father, we just thank You for this word. Thank You for Your scriptures, that it is written for us to believe. It is life for us. It is bread for us. And Lord, this morning we are fed. We know that this word can feed us. Not because of what I said, because of who You are, God. And we look back and we see all the wonderful things, the wonderful plan that You had for salvation, for us to have faith in something that takes us out of our situation. And today we rejoice in that. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for setting us free. Lord, I pray, Father, today as we're probably at all different levels of experience with You and levels of communication with You and levels of oneness with You, it doesn't matter to You. You just want all of us. You want all of me, all of my brothers and sisters. You want all of their life. God, I pray that you would increase that in us today. Help us to believe something today that we didn't believe you could take care of yesterday. But God, this morning, Father, increase our faith, that our faith may be increased and that it would ultimately bring glory to you. Lord, we know that there's a harvest. There's a harvest that is ready to take in. And God, I pray that we would not be a hindrance to that, but our faith would rise up. Our faith would be increased as we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look ahead, we see the storm clouds, whether it be a social storm or a political storm, whatever it is, Lord, there's trouble. There's trouble coming, but yet at the end of the day, you have such a great plan for us, and we live in an awesome time. We live in a great time, Lord. This is, help us to redeem the time, Father, today, and help us to further our faith in you. As we look to you, Father, help us to not be swayed by these little comments that sometimes people make. Is that really true? Or whatever it may be. But God, I pray, Father, this morning we would rise above the chatter and the noise, Lord, and we would spend that time with you in prayer so we can take care of the needs of the saints. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we just commit ourselves to you, commit our time to you, Father, and we thank you again for allowing us to be here this morning. Once again, you've provided an opportunity, and we just worship you for that. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.